Morning everyone, sorry for the slight delay but I'm new to this job. This morning's service is being conducted by everybody and anybody. Barbara is going to compare, that's the right word, I don't know what the right term is, and we're all supposed to be taking a little part in it. My part is to announce the first hymn. Now before I announce the first hymn I'm going to read a little bit out of Matthew chapter 13. It's about the parable and the sower, and all will become apparent when I get onto the hymn, or it should come apparent. Matthew 13, verses 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But whilst everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed seed among the wheat, and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the wheat also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy has done this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling in the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat as well. Let them both grow together until harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles and burn. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." And the hymn that we're going to sing accompanying that is the harvest hymn. Now some of you may say, well, this isn't harvest time. Well, it is harvest time. I think the abundant crops of apples etc. has proved that. It's number 106, "Come You Thankful People Come." Now it talks about, the first verse talks about from an agricultural point of view bringing the harvest in. Now when this was written in the 1800s, most people would be living off the land, in the land, so it would be very much dear to their hearts. But obviously it goes on to explain what that parable was saying there in about the sower and the seed. It's about God's harvest is a harvest of people who come and know and worship Him. So if we could sing 106, "Come You Thankful People Come." Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let's come before the Lord with prayer. I have a little reading that was my bedside reading this morning, which I'd like to bring to you, and then we'll go from there. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have called each one of us here today to worship you. We have come from various homes with various problems and various delights, and these we present to you and put aside for a while we concentrate on you and your word and the word that you send through those who will speak. Father, bless us at this time as we sit here in your peace and in your presence. And may we all be aware of the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, Hazel is going to come.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want, that supply. He maketh me to lie in green pastures, that's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters, that's refreshment. He restoreth my soul, that's healing. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, and that's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. And thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup runneth over, and that's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and that's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, that's security, forever, and that's eternity.
And now Tommy.
Hello there. Many years ago, I became a Christian, and it was as far back as I can remember. And since then, I greatly grew in pride, unfortunately, over the years of being a Christian, in the biblical knowledge that I have had, and, well, still have, hopefully. I also contended for the faith. I was rather heavy-handed about it. People would look at me and they would see a Christian, but what did they see? Did they see relationship or did they just see faith? Did they see someone who followed rules or did they see someone who loved? Unfortunately, they didn't see much of the love, as far as I could tell. I definitely fought for the faith, but relationship was not the centre until God lifted me out of that through showing just how sinful I was myself. Holding people up to my standards caused me to be hard and I was not very compassionate, which the Lord has helped me to develop. As many of us are familiar with this passage from 1 Corinthians 13, I've taken excerpts from there as well as from 1 John 4. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And I was certainly just a clanging cymbal. I did not speak with love, but hopefully now, well, now I know actually now, I definitely do. Although there are certainly times where I definitely fail in those regards. I still have to come to repentance. I still have to forgive. I still have to receive forgiveness. I certainly had faith that could, well, maybe not quite move mountains, but I certainly had faith. And if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I have nothing. God is love, and let us love one another, for love comes from God. Love was not my focus, but that is what it is now. I focus on relationship now, and following laws comes from knowing God instinctively rather than following the laws to find God. The law is written upon our heart. Now, we should show love to one another rather than just spouting the law. And through showing the relationship to one another, people will see Jesus in us. For what do people see in us? People didn't see a relationship in me, they saw a law followed. But now they see relationship. And to see that, they must see love, patience, kindness. That is love. No envy, no boasting, no pride. We should honour others and not dishonour them. Not self-seeking. Are we easily angered? I certainly am angry at times. I certainly need to forgive, let go. Our dog certainly brings out my anger at times. Keeping no record of wrongs, I tend to slip back into remembering what people have done against me. My mother, for instance. I need to let go of that, but keep no record of wrongs. That is love. Rejoicing with truth, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering. Perhaps persevering and continuing a relationship with someone. For me, my mother. There is an element of fear then. Once bitten, twice shy. That's the old maxim. But there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. What do people see when they look at us as a church?
Thank you, Hazel and Tom. Now we are going to have a hymn, 564, chosen by Margaret, and she's coming to say a little word about it.
Chosen for us all to sing, number 564. This was one of Bobby's favourite hymns. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Is it Chris?
Sorry to disappoint you.
What a disappointment to me. Do come.
Hey, thank you. I'll just pray if you don't mind. Father, in Jesus' name, please bless my faltering words that they may give you glory and be a challenge or encouragement or whatever, Lord, you have in mind for each of us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Yes, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. I know I mustn't misinterpret it. It's not just in everything we can do to achieve what we believe God would do in our lives, and we'll do our best. In my case, it's realizing that in illness, we can only look to the Lord to help us through. And this I'll say especially thinking of my wife Eileen and a long trial of about 18 months of not really knowing what was wrong, and with tests and then doctors making a diagnosis, which, we'll be honest, I said with them, we didn't really believe solved the issue. Anyway, we went along with it, and this abdomen digestive issue didn't get any better. And the trial for me, in a way, was seeing the love of my life racked with pain. That may, bring memories to many here, and those of you who are in difficulty now, and wonder, Lord, what do we do? And I was believing God for healing and thanking him for healing, but realizing it's only in his time and in his way. And as she got worse towards the end of the day, we'd pray and believe God for helping us through, carrying us through, but looking for an answer. And it came to a head just over a fortnight ago. With distended bowel, we persuaded the doctor to see us, and we got referred straight to the Royal Infirmary, had the scans which we'd asked for a year ago, and then she was in for surgery on the Saturday morning within 24 hours, removal of part of her bowel. because of what we thought might have been the issue was previous operations and scar tissue, and they were impressing upon the bowel, and in fact that section died. So in the meantime she wasn't able to digest the food properly and was weak. So we thank God for the attention of the surgeons and the care of the nurses. She was in hospital for 8 days, and then she's been back a week, and she's looking forward to joining us here back in fellowship, God willing, next Sunday. But it reminded me to look to the Lord through a trial and to trust God in everything. Meanwhile, I was learning a lesson to ease off as far as work goes, but I'd had a promise made to my daughter to help her buy a house, and that's just been achieved, so we can ease off a little ourselves, and hopefully I'll learn the lesson just to spend a bit more time to enjoy God's presence, to realise that our health is in His hands, but also our lives for eternity, especially seeing Eileen go through great suffering, did move me, and I'm weary now, so I realise I need to rest. And the Lord said, come unto me, you are weary, and I'll give you rest. But give thanks to God for His blessings carrying us through, and for what the medical people did, and for Eileen's rejuvenation of life and being fulfilled in the different ways I know she will be, to God's glory. Thank you.
According to my little slip of paper here, June is going to come.
How many people can remember 1957?
Yes.
Okay, well, in 1957, a new Baptist minister, a young man, went to Tottle Bank Baptist Church, don't know if any of you know it, near Ulverston. And at his induction service he said, I feel sure I can count on your loyal support during the months and the years that lie ahead. But let us not feel complacent or satisfied about our church attendance. There are still many people outside the church who need to know the Lord. And so that's our situation as well. So he said to them, may I pass on this following poem? There might be some words here that you don't recognise, you young people. 10 little churchmen went to church when fine, but it started raining, and then there were 9. 9 little churchmen stayed up very late. 1 overslept himself, and then there were 8. 8 little churchmen on the way to heaven. 1 joined a rambling club, and then there were 7. 7 little churchmen heard of Sunday flicks, pictures, cinema. 1 thought he'd like to go, then there were 6. 6 little churchmen kept the church alive. 1 bought a television, then there were 5. 5 little churchmen were loyal to the core, but the pastor upset 1. And then there were 4. 4 little churchmen argued heatedly over the communion. And then there were 3. 3 little churchmen sang the service through. Got a hymn they didn't know. And then there were 2. 2 little churchmen disputed who should run the renovation concert. And then there was 1. 1 faithful churchman, knowing what to do, got a friend to come to church, and then there were 2. 2 sincere churchmen each brought in 1 more, so their number doubled, and then there were 4. 4 sturdy churchmen simply couldn't wait till they found others, and then there were 8. 8 eager churchmen searched round for souls, praying, watching, witnessing, drew in others by the shoals. Shoals and shoals at every service, cramming every pew. Oh God, supply this grace and zeal to my own church too.
Right, our next hymn is number 746, and this has been chosen by Tricia. from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 7. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 7. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And for all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land, as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. Marion,
you've no opportunity of missing what it's about. Abram. Abram was born sometime, long time, after the flood. If you read the Bible, it tells you who was born and who was born and who was born and who was, and then Abram. So a long time after the flood. Abram was in the family line of Shem. You remember Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth. And Shem was the father of the Semitic people, the Jewish people. So Abraham, well, he was 75. Some of us are getting that way and some of us have got that way and passed it and are still going. But dear Abraham, bless him, 75. And God said, "Get up and go." As you get up and go, got up and gone. Come on, Abraham, you're only 75. Get up and go. And I'll make you a great nation. Well, I can imagine Abraham, can't you? Me, Sarah's barren, I've no children, I'm 75. But he didn't say that. He showed absolute, amazing faith in God. Childless, no children, barren wife, and he went. "Don't worry, Abraham," said God, "I'll show you where you're going, and I will make you that great nation. Through you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." "I'm going to die. Who will bless them through me?" says Abraham. Not quite in those words. But he believed. God told him. So he went. He's going. Where's he going? Well, he doesn't know. God hasn't said that yet. He hasn't got a map. He hasn't got a rainbow. There's no drum roll. There's no baby yet. But he's going. Because God said go. And Abraham said, "Okay, I'll go." Not quite like that. God's promise to Abraham was enough. Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham, he's still called, Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him. God credited it to Abraham as righteousness. God called, he believed, God blessed. So, up he gets. He depended entirely on God. He didn't have a map. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when this child would come. But they went with tents and camels and food and family, and they set off, and they didn't know where they were going, but they went. And off they went. And God guided.
And God led, and God fed, and God protected, and all the way, every step of that way, God was in the plan. God had promised. And what God had promised came to pass eventually. Well, quite some time later, when they'd sort of got a bit settled and were making a home, there were three visitors came to see Abraham. This is a very short version, you realise. Three visitors. They were heavenly visitors. You can read the account if you want in Genesis chapter 18. Read it when you go home. And Abraham met the visitors. Oh, come in, we'll kill the fatted calf, let's have a nice meal. And Sarah set to and prepared them a meal, and they were chatting, and you can imagine Sarah's in the kitchen, and she heard one of the visitors say, Sarah will have a son. Well, Sarah fell about laughing, didn't she? Sarah was now, well, probably 90-ish. I'll have a son. Well, I've never had one before, and I'm 90. And she laughed. Sarah hadn't yet learned that God was much bigger than we can imagine. Miracles happen today as well. Well, 1 year after the laughter, there came better laughter, because the child was born. And the child grew up, and his name was Isaac, and oh my, what a joy, the apple of mum and dad's eye, you can imagine it, can't you? And Abraham was getting on a bit, and he was now about, well, 113, I sort of picked up from somewhere. 113 years old. One child. And God said, I'm going to fulfill my promise. You're going to be a great nation, Abraham. And I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. Well, where's the great nation going to come from? I've got one child, an old wife, and I'm old. What's going to happen? But Abraham believed God. He trusted God, whatever was going to happen. You know the story. Abraham and Isaac set off, and off they go, walking up the hill, and well, Dad, we've got the fire and we've got the sticks, but where's the lamb? God will provide. And they build the altar, and Isaac is put on the altar. And Abraham trusts God. And he got the knife. You know, I sign, and the sign language for Abraham is... Because Abraham got to the point of raising the knife, and God stayed his hand, and there was a lamb. And Abraham sacrificed the lamb, and Isaac got married, and they became a great nation. The promise of God stands sure. Do you trust God like Abraham did? Being a Christian, following Jesus, knowing Jesus as Saviour and Lord, is nothing to do with what I've done, with what you've done, with what we've done. It's not because we give to charity. It's not because we come to church. We'll do that. It's not being baptised even. It's not being Christian, being christened. It's not being received into church membership. It's not coming regularly and singing the hymns. Would you believe it? It's none of those things. These things don't save our souls. I remember going to St. Andrew's Church because I used to sign for an old chap. He was 90 several. Sorry if you're 90 several. And he was profoundly deaf from birth. And his daughter had asked me if I would go and sign at the Wednesday communion because Dad liked to go. But they'd had to write everything out for him and you know, and he got messed up with the pieces of paper and he wasn't coping very well. Would I go and sign? So I met this chappie and I went up to him to shake his hand. And he didn't reach his hand out. He just went, "That means, are you saved? You saved?" Means no speech. So I told him, "Yes, I believed in the Lord Jesus as my Saviour." "Oh, that's all right, then you can sign for me." Sort of, we're not having it if you're not. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord? Being a Christian is coming to Jesus. "Lord, I've sinned against you. Thank you that you died." I'm going to cry. "That you died for me. You took away my sin on the cross. And I love you, Lord." Do you know him? Do you know him like that? Believing in Jesus is trusting him alone. It's believing that God justifies sinners because Jesus died. The amazing truth is we depend entirely on what God has done for us. Our faith is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved?